Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football History Headlines, we discuss the ending of Tom Landry's time in Dallas, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary stories and birthdays of Hall of Famers for February 26, all coming up for you in just a moment on this Best of the Pigskin Dispatch episode.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we are getting near the end of February. Can you believe it already? This year is whizzing right by. We are in the off season, and some great things are going to be happening here as the NFL's end of year and beginning of new year happens in just a couple weeks. And you're going to see some big trades happen then, and some free agency, and you know everything's going to start going bonkers with where your favorite players are, and we'll try to keep you up to date on what's going on. But we do know what a great view it is looking back at the past, and that's what one thing where Pigskin Dispatch specializes in. We want to preserve the football history, and we'll try to keep up abreast of what's going on. But we're not at that place where you're up to date and you know going through every transaction. We're going to look at it just a little bit differently, different lens than normal places, because history is where it's at. You know, that's the way to always go to know where you're going forward is by looking at the history. Now let's get to your football history headlines. February 26, 1989. Dallas Cowboys, they fire Tom Landry after a 29-year career. Tom Landry received his first glimpse of coaching as a Giant when head coach Steve Owen asked the young Landry to explain a 6-1-4 defense to his teammates when he was still a player in New York. In 1954 and 1955, with Steve Owen out as the coach, Landry served as a player assistant coach under a new man, Jim Lee Howell. Landry was a defensive coordinator, while a man named Vince Lombardi was in charge of the Giants' offense. Early in 1960, before they even officially existed, Tom Landry was hired as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. The first year of the coach had some tough sledding as his team went 0-11-1. The Cowboys owner, Clint Murchison Jr. at the time, had faith in Landry, though, as he promptly signed him to a 10-year extension. That's really having some faith. Patience paid off as the team improved in 1966 and won 10 games and earned the right to play in Lombardi's Packers in the NFL Championship game. Landry coached teams in Dallas that made Super Bowls five times, winning two of them, and he was a Bart Starr quarterback a sneak away in the Ice Bowl from a sixth Super Bowl attempt to play. In 1990, Coach Landry was selected and entered the Pro Football Hall of Fame. February 26, 1991, the World League of American Football opens up training camps just days after the league's first draft they completed. We just talked about that the other day. They ended the draft and just a day or two later opened up camp. Wow, not much time for a rest in there. Now let's take a break away from the football history headlines for a second and hear from one of my awesome partners in the Sports History Network.
Hi, this is John Gidley. Join me each Friday for a trip into the football attic, where I'll delve into forgotten but noteworthy stories of the National Football League. You're bound to learn something new or have your memory jogged each week. That's every Friday, only on the Sports History Network and wherever podcasts are available.
Make sure you listen to John Gidley's podcast. It is a good one. He's taken a little hiatus because he just got a new job working with the New York Giants on Sports Illustrated, I believe, covering the Giants. So great opportunity for him. He will be back, though, he promises. He will do some more podcasts for us, too, and probably give you some great insight on what his new job is, and we can't wait for that. Before we continue on, though, I want to have you a spoiler alert for tomorrow's podcast, the February 27th podcast. We have a special guest coming in to talk about a little Chicago Cardinals football history, a big event that happened on the February 27th anniversary. And with that, we have our resident Chicago Cardinals expert, Joe Zimba, is going to join us on the podcast, and we're excited about that. He's going to talk a little Chicago Cardinals football, tell us about some of his books and his podcast, and we're in for a real treat tomorrow, so make sure you check that out. But before we get to that, let's cover our February 26th birthdays of Hall of Famers. And on this date, 1886, Blue Ball, Pennsylvania, the two-way end fullback from the University of Pennsylvania from 1904 through 1908, Bill Hollenbach was born. This man was a tough player. This was an extremely evident when, after he completed a full 60-minute game and got checked out in the locker room, he was found to have a leg fracture, dislocations of both shoulders, shin splints, and hip bruises per the footballfoundation.org website bio on him. Hollenbach started and finished his collegiate playing career on a national championship team as Penn won the national title in both 1904 and 1908. Bill started every game during the 1906, 07, and 08 campaigns, and he earned the coveted All-American status in both 1906 and 1908. He did not play in 1905 for some unknown reason. Hollenbach was the head coach at Penn State, Missouri, Syracuse, and Penn Military Academy, and then he left the dark side and joined the football officials. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding about him being a football official, but coaches are good people. I'm just saying that to joke around with some of my coaching friends. As you know, I was a football official. Bill Hollenbach was the inaugural College Football Hall of Fame inductee in 1951. February 26, 1914, Cleveland, Ohio. The stud center from Ohio State University from 1933 through 1935, Gomer Jones, celebrated his day of birth. The 1935 season was a culmination of all the learning and hard work Gomer had put in his earlier years as he became the team's captain, the team's most valuable player, and he was selected as an All-American per the NFF that year. The College Football Hall of Fame welcomed the football legacy of Gomer Jones into its museum in 1978. Jones coached a handful of schools and nurtured 16 All-American linemen in his time teaching football. Wow, that's a great accomplishment there, too. February 26, 1930, Elyria, Ohio. The slick halfback from the Ohio State Buckeyes from 1949 to 1951, Vic Jankowitz, arrived into this world. The Football Foundation website delivers a story that Vic is one of the best all-around football players to ever put on pads. As a sophomore defender in 1949, Vic became the hero of the 1950 Rose Bowl as he picked off two passes, ran one back 41 yards, and helped Ohio State beat California 17-14. The next year, the coaching staff had Jankowitz play on both sides of the ball. Vic's athleticism was on full display from the tailback position of a single wing formation. When he passed, he ran, punted, blocked, and place kicked. His highlight game was 1950 was against Pitt, where Jankowitz threw four touchdown passes and a 41-7 victory over the Panthers. That's not where his exploits stopped, though. He booted a 90-yard punt against Minnesota. Imagine that. Scored 46 points against Iowa, and he went on to become a unanimous All-American and even won the Heisman Trophy. The National Football Foundation voters selected Vic Jankowitz for induction into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1976. Vic played a few years of Major League Baseball with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then a couple seasons in the NFL with Washington. A car accident, though, ended his promising pro career in both sports. We lost some great legends and more great exploits to the NFL because of that. February 26, 1973, New Orleans, Louisiana. Marshall Faulk, the talented running back for San Diego State University from 1991 through 1993, was born. What can you say about this player? Well, for starters, the footballfoundation.org tells us that he was a first-team All-American in all three seasons that he played college football. Amazing feat. Faulk became the first freshman in history to lead the nation in both scoring with 140 points and rushing with 158.8 yards per game in 1991. Imagine that. He was a finalist for the Heisman three times. The NFF selection committee called the name of Marshall Faulk in 2017 for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame. Marshall was the number two pick in the NFL draft of 1994, and he played 12 seasons in the NFL, split between the Indianapolis Colts and the St. Louis Rams. For his career, he amassed 12,279 yards rushing and added another 6,874 yards receiving on 767 passes that were caught. Faulk scored 136 touchdowns and was the league MVP in the year 2000. Marshall was the first player in history to earn over 2,000 yards in total offense in four consecutive seasons. The Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, seized the opportunity to put Marshall Faulk into a gold jacket in 2011. Again, we thank you so much for joining us today. We couldn't do it anywhere without you, our listeners, and we appreciate your feedback and your comments. If you have any more to tell us, write us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Check us out at pigskindispatch.com/podcast. You can see all of our podcasts all in one place. You could also find us on the sportshistorynetwork.com, where there's other great podcasts, just like you heard from John Gidley earlier. He's on there. And Joe Zimba, who we're going to talk to tomorrow night, he's on there too, along with Warren Rogan, who you'll hear next week, and Aaron Harris coming up for some great opportunities to hear some of these Sports History Network talents outside of their podcast. But you can go right now to the Sports History Network as soon as we get done here and listen to them in their own environment. But we sure are glad you get to hear them in the pig pen too, because we're excited to talk to them. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.